For 3 years, there's been a battle to save the euro. But most politicians and bankers here in London believe that this year will be even worse than last year for the beleaguered currency. So will 2012 be a make or break year for the eurozone? Hello and welcome to A Simple Question, your weekly roundup of views and opinions from the streets of London. I'm Phil Rees. European leaders met 8 times last year to find a solution, but they couldn't. The debt crisis continues. Will the eurozone survive it? Well, before we find out what the people think on the streets of London, here's a short video clip.
It was in Greece that the problem of the European government debt was first recognized when it admitted owing 300 billion euros in late 2009. When the government announced a series of austerity measures aimed at curbing the deficit, strikes and riots broke out. In May 2010, following more protests, Eurozone members and the International Monetary Fund agreed to a bailout package worth more than 100 billion euros. Nearly 2 years later, Greece's debt has been increasing rather than decreasing. It's now being offered the option of receiving another loan in exchange for tougher austerity measures, including job, wage, and pension cuts. The Greek parliament has approved new, more drastic austerity measures, and the government is to receive a 130 billion euro bailout from the EU and the IMF. But the leaders of Germany and other northern European countries don't believe the politicians in Athens can deliver enough cuts. Polls have shown that over 60% of Greeks are against the terms of the bailout. There is increasing hardship and social unrest. Trade unions are taking strike actions, and many wonder whether the authorities can contain the violence. Officials from many Eurozone countries are now saying publicly that it might be better for Greece to default and exit the Eurozone. An estimate by UBS Bank calculates that Greece could lose half of its GDP in the first year of leaving the euro. European countries, with the exception of the UK, decided in December to move towards fiscal unity, which appears to be the only way that the eurozone can survive. But in February, an official report calculated the total amount owed by the 27 governments of the European Union to over 10.3 trillion euros. 80% of this debt is owed by governments and not the public. So who will pay this bill to save the euro? Italy, Spain, Ireland and Portugal have already received hundreds of billions in bailout money. And there are now signs that Germany, supposedly the financially strongest euro nation, is also at risk of recession. So is the eurozone likely to survive? And if so, which countries will be left in it?
A Simple Question is a show that finds out what the public thinks here on the streets of London. I began by asking whether 2012 will be a make or break year for the euro. And why do people think it's taking so long to solve the debt crisis?
I doubt it. I doubt it very much. If Greece explodes, then there'll be a domino effect around the Mediterranean countries, I should imagine.
In 2012 is being described as a make or break year for the euro. Do you think that?
Yeah, I think it probably is a make or break year. I think Greece is probably going to go out, and maybe Germany will back them, but if I was Germany, I wouldn't. So I think they're going to go out.
Possible, but it does look as if there are a lot of things going on that may break it apart. The Greek problem has not been resolved properly, and there's a possible implications for other countries such as France, Spain, Portugal. So who knows at this stage? But I mean, I would think the writing's on the wall for the eurozone.
From its very inception, there's always been problems. I mean, Greece didn't actually meet the entry criteria, and yet it was allowed in. So if you set a system up with those kind of fault lines, then you're always going to get problems. And none of these problems have been addressed.
Do you reckon that 2012 will be a make or break year for the euro?
I mean, realistically, who knows? I mean, the way how this global economy is going, we can't really predict anything. I think it's not looking too good at the moment. So hopefully things pick up and hopefully things turn around for the best, really.
I'm not entirely sure, to be honest. I don't think it will survive for much longer. I think it was never destined to survive to start with. So many different economies with different rates of growth. It's very hard to kind of come under one system and make that work.
The debt crisis seems to be going on and on every day. I mean, why is it taking so long to solve it?
There's a lot of debt, basically. And, you know, we're left here in the UK with a... I can't even think of the figure, but it's why we're having to make so much stringent cuts in our public services, and you see the unemployment figures because of that, and it's going to be tough now.
Understandably, there's a lot at play from different countries. Everybody's got a very different economy, so to say. When we're all individual currencies, France, Germany, you know, various other different nations, they all had their strong points, all had their weak points, and I think bringing that all together is quite a clash.
Simply because the Germans aren't playing a reasonable sort of game, because they're not accepting that they have a major role to play in propping up a currency into which they allowed far too many people to be admitted who shouldn't have been if they wanted to make it work. It now means the Germans are in a position where they're actually damaging the rest of the Eurozone.
Why do you think it's taking so long to sort out this debt crisis? It's been 3 years now.
Well, I actually think that it will continue to get worse.
Well, I suppose that people, you're digging a hole and you don't realise you're digging it, and you're just going deeper and deeper and deeper. But I think that one of the reasons for the debt crisis may be that the sort of junior partners in the Eurozone, that they were being sort of sold great prestige items and things like that, and they didn't really quite know what they were letting themselves in for.
So many different parties involved, so many different countries, backgrounds, cultures.
So those are the views of the public here on the streets of London. So what do the experts think?
The crisis really began with the subprime problems in the US, but that very rapidly made people realise that, in fact, a number of countries in the EU, after they'd bailed out their banks, were themselves in great difficulty. One of them, of course, being the UK, others being Ireland, classically. But the subprime crisis showed the weaknesses in the EU system. The lead into this whole crisis, you can really date back to the 10th of May 2010, to 2 years ago, more or less. That was when the crisis broke, and the heads of government of the Eurozone decided they were not going to let it break up, but they would produce, first of all, a 500 billion euro fund, which topped up with the IMF was $1 trillion. It's big money. And they would take very strong actions. And they followed that through slowly, I admit, and steadily, but they have now created effectively a political union in the Eurozone. And in December 2011, there was a celebrated veto by David Cameron of something. No one's quite worked out what he did veto, but anyway, he seemed pleased. Everybody else has gone off and created a new treaty, which is a very powerful one, and that is to bind the countries together to make sure that they do conduct their financial affairs, their public finances, in a sound, prudent way for the future, which they haven't done in the past. But that's the essence of where we got, how we got here. Whether the European Commissioner is right to say that the euro will survive without Greece, of course it will. Greece is only 2% of the whole group, so of course it will. Should Greece leave? Can Greece leave? I don't think they can, actually. Very, very difficult. But secondly, should they? The way they are now being obliged to adjust their internal policy, cutting minimum wages, etc., this is a devaluation. This is a reduction in domestic costs to make them competitive. That's what a devaluation would achieve. So at the end of this process, they will have devalued their costs relative to the rest of, actually, the world. No need to leave.
You have to remember, the whole thing is a political project, not an economic one. And everyone said at the beginning, you know, this is not an optimal currency area. That would be the economic side. And politics is the problem. They don't still recognise that a number of countries' governments are insolvent, so they have to default, and they have to become more competitive, because over 10 years most of the southern European countries have become less competitive, and that means basically they have to devalue, which of course they can't do inside a single currency. Now, those are unpalatable facts for politicians, but I think they remain facts, and until the politicians bite the bullet, we're not going to get a solution. We have to remember, this is not a Greek crisis, it's a Eurozone crisis. The Eurozone could bumble on, probably, for a few months if Greece were to leave. But in fact, more countries need to leave. Italy, for example, Ireland, Portugal, Spain, probably Cyprus. And there's a long list of countries that really can't survive inside the Eurozone. And I'm not surprised that a senior EU official says that, because really the EU and the Eurozone leaders have been the problems all along. They haven't recognised the difficulties, how they arose, and how to get rid of them.
A senior member of the European Commission has said that the Eurozone will survive the departure of Greece. So, should Greece leave or be kicked out? And is it a good idea to ask China to lend money to support the euro? Well, German Chancellor Angela Merkel thinks so. Does the public agree?
It's very hard to tell whether it will survive or not. In some ways, one feels it would be better to cut your losses and to let Greece go its own way and so on and be a sort of little economic unit within itself. But one's told this would have a disastrous effect on the rest of the euro countries.
A senior member of the European Commission has suggested that Greece should leave the eurozone. I mean, do you think it should?
Well, I mean, what will be the consequences of them leaving that? That's what they need to take into consideration. Personally, I'm not too clued up on that, but if they're going to go out and borrow more money, then they're just going to get in more debt, and this is just an ongoing spiral, which doesn't seem to have a solution at the moment.
I think it'll survive. I think Greece is one piece of the jigsaw puzzle. I'm sure it'll be destabilised for a while, but I think it'll survive.
I really don't know enough about the economic implications of Greece leaving. I mean, people say it would be, you know, what I've read has always said that it would, no one can budget for that kind of scenario.
A senior member of the European Commission has said that, you know, Greece should leave. Do you think the Eurozone can survive the departure of Greece?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the core countries are pretty strong, and I don't think Greece should have come in the first place. And there's probably a few other countries that shouldn't have really come into the euro.
I think possibly the eurozone could carry on. I don't know what happens to Greece though. That's the issue, whether they can actually contemplate kind of casting out that economy, because it's going to really wreck that economy. I'm not sure how Greece will be able to cope. I think the euro probably could cope. It wouldn't be easy, but they probably could.
8 trillion euros of that debt, that's a huge number, right? Out of 10 trillion, but, you know, 80% of the debt is actually government debt, not owned by the public. Now, I mean, who should pay that? Should the public be suffering for that?
No, I mean, ultimately, no, that's a perfect answer if we live in a fairy tale world, but we don't live in a fairy tale world, we live in a real world. I don't necessarily agree that more money should be taken in our wage packet week after week, month after month. Of course I don't. I want it all to myself.
My inclination is that it should certainly not fall on the people, and probably come from industry, or I suppose I only really know about the context in this country a bit, and I'd say there should be a much heavier burden on the origin of the crisis, namely the financial sector and the banks.
I think we're all involved in it. We're all part of it, aren't we? We're all interdependent. Can't escape that connection. So I think we'll all end up paying for it in one way or another.
8 trillion euros, that's a huge number, 8 trillion euros of the debt, which comes to about 10 trillion euros, is actually owed by governments. It's sovereign debt. Why should the public pay for that?
I don't think they should. I think we're paying enough already, quite frankly, in the 21st century. It seems to me that governments are always wanting more and more and more out of the taxpayer.
Well, if the governments took out that debt without their people's consent, then I don't think it's the people's responsibility. I think maybe it's the politicians. I don't know if their bank accounts are that big to cover that sort of thing, but if not, then I don't know whose responsibility it is.
The German Chancellor, Angela Merkel, has suggested that Europe should go to China, cap in hand, and say, help us out. Is that a good idea to do that and borrow from other countries?
Well, in terms of what China thinks it could probably get out of the European Union, as I said earlier before, that, you know, the world economy is changing. China and the Middle East and the Eastern countries, those are the economies. They are the future for decades and centuries to come. going cap in hand to China or other countries, it's a sign of weakness perhaps, but also what are those countries looking in for return?
It's a slippery slope. It's a very slippery slope.
Well, I suppose it's in China's interests that you have a strong Europe, because otherwise she won't have a trading partner. So she needs us in a sense. And it's in everybody's interest that all countries of the world are actually strong economically.
The German Chancellor, Angela Merkel, has suggested that that Europe should borrow from China, should go to China and say, help us out. Do you think that's a good idea, sort of borrowing from China or other countries?
I don't really think it's really a good idea, because I know America borrow from China as well. And, you know, if they go and borrow from China, it's kind of like they're in debt to China and they're going to be paying money here, there and everywhere. And they're just increasing their debt.
I don't think we should borrow money from the Chinese, because in any case, I think their economy is in danger as well at the moment. And I think we should just cap all of it.
Different views there from the public. So what do our experts think?
Well, the governments of the Eurozone do indeed owe 8 trillion euros. That's their responsibility. Their people have voted those governments in and have agreed to the economic policies which have run up those debts. So each country is responsible, without a doubt, for its own debts. I know there are discussions about Eurobonds and the like which would mutualise that. Why would the Netherlands want to take on the debts of Greece, or Germany take on the debts of Greece? They didn't incur them. Why should they? They may help in the future. They are helping for the future. But paying off the past debts, I don't see any reason for that. I must say, I always find it surprising when someone like the Chancellor of Germany goes to a poor country like China, rich in total, because there's a lot of them, but nonetheless poor per person, and is thinking about borrowing money from poor Chinese to bail out rich Greeks. This doesn't seem right. And in fact, we don't need it anyway. The European Union, the euro area, runs a current account surplus. It's a rich area. We've got quite enough money. If the policies being pursued by country X, let's say Greece, if they are credible to investors, investors will go and invest there. And some of them might be Chinese, might be Indians, might be Japanese, but most of them will be European. No need to go abroad at all. Well, let's look at the two possibilities, one that the Eurozone survives completely and the other doesn't. If it does, and that's essentially what I expect to happen, I don't exclude the possibility that Greece will leave the European Union and therefore the Eurozone. I don't see the legal mechanism for them to leave the Eurozone without leaving the EU, which is why they won't do it, because it'll be very expensive. In which case, everything will go on much as it is, but with a much, much stronger collective control over economic policy. The Eurozone is now a political union, of which the UK, of course, is completely outside. Now, the other scenario is the black scenario, where it breaks up. And I don't think people really think about what that really means. And I can be completely sure that the moment you begin to get the major states of the EU splitting out of the euro, there will be exchange controls, capital controls within hours, if not days, policemen posted at the borders and that sort of thing, the internet having to be cut off to stop payments being made abroad. Then there will be controls on traded goods. So, for instance, in the UK, everyone is very pleased with the exports of cars. The UK is one of the largest manufacturers of cars to export to the mainland. There will be little devices to stop that happening. So those factories will migrate much more to where the cars are going to be consumed. And that is a major split, fragmentation of Europe, which will impoverish everyone.
Whose responsibility is it to pay them off? Well, the people who incurred the debts, the debtors. But of course, they can't pay them all off. That's why a default is needed. And if you look at American debt, for example, it seems to have gone down over the last 2 or 3 years. Why is that? Not because people have repaid the debt, but because defaults have been recognised earlier than in Europe. So what we need to do is recognise what accountants call bad debts and simply write them off now. Recognise reality. It's the first thing you have to do in a financial crisis. I think both China and the United States of America are quite keen for the Eurozone to continue, because if it were to break up, which I think it will and I think it should, it is going to cause very, very serious damage, at least in the short run, just like Lehman Brothers, as everyone says. A Eurozone breakup has all sorts of global implications, which the Chinese obviously wouldn't welcome. Personally, I don't think the Eurozone will survive or should survive, but if you're thinking of alternatives, there is a kind of Greater Germany alternative, which could leave Germany, the Netherlands, Luxembourg, maybe Finland, possibly Austria, in a single currency area. But the southern European countries I don't see staying in the Eurozone, nor France, which, of course, politically is the most sensitive. It was a mistake. And as Confucius said, someone who's made a mistake and doesn't correct it is making another mistake. So they should let it break up. The real question is, are we going to have a disorderly breakup or an orderly breakup? And I'm afraid the way they're running it, not recognising reality, we're probably going to have a disorderly breakup, which would be very sad.
So on to the big question, will the Eurozone survive? And if so, which countries will be left in it? What would Europe look politically with a much smaller currency zone? And finally, what would happen if they just dumped the euro altogether? Well, let's find out what the public thinks.
Well, I mean, I hope it doesn't fall apart, but my feeling is that probably there are too many tensions for the future of Europe. I hope it continues to be a relatively civilized place, but there are major, major structural problems that have to be faced by Europe in the future, and who knows how that's going to pan out.
Do you think the Eurozone will survive in the long run?
Something I don't really know, but if it continues the way it is, I can't see it surviving. I really don't know. I mean, a lot of people have been talking about like a global currency. I don't know whatever that is going to be, but who knows? Who knows? It's not looking good. It's not looking good.
It's hard to say. I think it will survive myself. And eventually, maybe even Britain will go into it, but that's a long time in the future.
Well, long term, I've always seen it as kind of an interim step anyway, because at some point, presumably there'll be a global currency, I don't know, but I think it'll survive in some form or other, and eventually I think we'll join it as well.
Politically then, what would Europe look like with a smaller currency zone?
Well, I think the original members of the euro will stay in. It's worked quite well for them in a way. The mistake was expanding to countries with weaker economies.
It'll look extremely unpleasant for various people. I think it will fall apart, but I think in the long run everybody will survive, and I'm glad we stayed out of it.
I've got no idea what it'll look like, but I think it'll still be in place because I think we are in a global economy, and I think that's part of that bigger picture. I think we're mutually dependent on each other, so I think it will survive, but I've no idea in what form.
It will look much the same as before. It'll just have to sort itself out financially.
That's all we've got time for this week. Thanks for joining us. If you've got something to say yourself, send an email to asimplequestion@presstv.com. That's asimplequestion@presstv.com. Meanwhile, I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.